Hello and welcome to Infernal Dominion, India's only extreme metal radio show hosted by Brutal Existence Radio, USA, every Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7:30 p.m. Indian Standard Time. Well, today we have yet another exclusive audio interview, and this time once again with my friend Mr. Greg Chandler from Esoteric, the amazing funeral doom metal band from UK. And this time I have Greg online to talk about the latest full-length Paragon of Dissonance, which is absolutely out of this world and skull-crushing. So welcome, Greg, once again. How are you doing?
Hi, Ankit. I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fine and finally glad that we could go ahead and do this interview after so many initial delays.
Yep. Cool.
And first of all, I would like to congratulate you on the latest album, Paragon of Dissonance, which supposedly is your sixth full-length. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that the album title certainly does justice to the name, with the extremely cacophonous and dissonant doom-laden soundscapes which you have put here. How do you feel about the album actually came out and the way people have been responding about it?
I think the response has generally been very good from what I've seen. It's probably a little better than I expected, to be honest, because I thought maybe, because the album is a little bit different to the previous album, I thought maybe,
exactly,
maybe the response would be a bit more varied, but it's all seems to be quite positive so far.
Yeah, that's right. It's very different as compared to your earlier releases, but as you said, I have seen people loving the album and some people which have not been able to grasp the album as a whole. So I think it has been a mixed bag for the fans and new listeners alike. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the new album is quite varied. The differences between the songs are quite vast in terms of atmosphere and feeling. So I think it's quite different to what we've done before.
Exactly. And this reminds me of how ecstatic I was when you had sent me the album promo for the review. And I was absolutely blown away by the brilliance of it. And it was so intense and so crushing that it took me a long time to assess and completely understand it. But I think that that's the beauty of your music. And
Thank you.
Because of that, it has easily become my favorite release this year. And it definitely deserves that place.
Thanks.
So I think that it is the most accomplished album which you have composed, in my humble opinion, this date. And the abysmal sounds and emotions which are unleashed in the album, they clearly explain that a lot of time and perseverance was put behind its creation. So when exactly did you guys start writing these tracks, and how was the whole experience?
We started writing pretty much pretty soon after the Monarchal Veil was released.
Okay.
And we just spent quite a long time writing the songs, and then the last couple of songs were written closer to the time just before we started recording, really.
Okay. So the whole album has been in works since about 3 years now, right?
Yeah, for about 3 years, yeah, since we started writing, yeah.
Okay. And so was the album writing process a smooth flowing thing, or you had breaks and some moments where you felt that this track isn't doing justice to our sound and you had to give it in the trash bin and start writing again?
No, it went pretty smoothly, really, overall. We didn't really bin anything that we'd written. We included all the songs we'd written. It was just a case of really spending some time on the songwriting, getting the initial ideas, song arrangements and structures in place, and then taking them into rehearsal.
Okay.
Experimenting with the songs, the arrangements, and just writing more parts and refining the parts that were already written.
Okay, sounds good. So, did you guys have any ideas in your mind while you started working on it, or it was a natural process?
We always try and keep it as a fairly natural process, really, just so what comes out is kind of real, rather than trying to put any particular limits or
right.
We just basically try and write from the heart, really, capturing emotions and and thoughts that are going on in our heads at the time of writing.
Right. And I believe that Gordon Bicknell was not a part of this album. Is it right?
No, he was a part of the album. He wrote one of the seven songs, and he performed on that song as well. But he wasn't a full time member of the band during the time of the whole 3 years, basically after kind of summer 2010. He took a break from the band for a little while, but he is still in the band, and he's back in the band full time now, and he will be gigging with us next year.
That sounds perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to know, because I did not see Gordon's name being mentioned in the whole lineup except for the track which you mentioned. So the whole album, it has been worked without Gordon's presence?
No, he was actually there for most of it. It was just towards the end of the album that he was towards the end of the songwriting. I think two songs were written after he'd taken a break. But most of them were written while he was still in the band.
Okay. And you also had Jim Nolan on this album. Was it his first time with Esoteric?
Yeah, this was first album recording for Jim. And he joined the band in just over 2 years ago now, actually. And he's fitted in very well. He's very, very technical person. He's a good musician, very good with sound effects programming and modulation, and he's also experienced in studio, so he fitted in very quickly, gelled with the band, and he contributed a lot to the album.
Yeah, and that is perhaps one of the most striking factors on the new album, that is the intense guitar work, which is quite unlike many other albums which I've heard, and it's very rare that one comes across shredding and highly rapturous solos on a Funeral Doom Metal album, and it was definitely quite a feat which you achieved here. So how well did Jim Nolan compliment you in the songwriting, because it definitely is something different and something adventurous even for you guys?
I think Jim's songwriting complements the album very well, and the band well in general, because his style of playing is a bit more melodic. His style of songwriting is still very experimental, but it has a little bit more. It's a little bit easier to digest for the listener. It's still very dark and heavy, but I guess it's just a bit more melodic and consonant on the whole. So it's something that's quite different to my style of writing and Gordon's style of writing, which tends to be a little bit more chaotic and dissonant.
Exactly. This is the first thing which a person who has been a long time fan of Esoteric would notice on the album. And I would say that the dissonance and the disharmony is still present on the album, and it has worked perfectly with Jim's music style. I mean, like a perfect blend of his style and your trademark style. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yeah, I think it fits in very well, and it gives more variation in the atmospheres and the feeling of the album as it progresses, and I think it keeps it interesting. I mean, we always, on every Esoteric album, we've always had more than one songwriter, usually at least three different songwriters contributing to the songwriting. So that's what's kept the albums quite varied and diverse, I think. But I think this one is even more so.
I totally agreed with that. So how did you actually come across Jim, and how did you know that this person would be the perfect one to fit in your band?
We found out that he was ready to join a band. He was not in a band at the time, and he'd played in a local band before called Life Denied, and we knew that he was a good guitarist, so we just basically invited him to audition, and he learned the songs and fitted in straight away.
Okay, that's great. And as again, you did a fabulous job in the engineering and the mixing, mastering on the album. I feel that it's a great plus that you yourself are handling the post-production of your music, since it wouldn't be easy for any outsider to perfectly comprehend the amount of dexterity which is required to render an esoteric album. So with the amount of layers and various sounds on the new album, it's quite apparent that you must have had a very intense and persevering session during the production.
Yeah, I mean, the mixing of each song was basically, we spent a day mixing each song because they're quite long. There's a hell of a lot of parts and sound changes for every instrument. So it's not like you can just set a mix template and just generally get the tweak the settings. You have to basically mix each section of each song and make it work as dynamically as it goes through the song. So it's quite a lot of different audio tracks and a lot of different sounds to work through.
Okay, so what gears did you use for your guitar recordings?
We all have different setups basically. So we use different pedals and effects units for each guitarist. So we don't have sounds that are too similar.
Right.
And the amplifiers used were is an Engel Powerball for most of that I use, and cabinet. And the other guys use different amps as well. So we vary what we use. Gordon uses an Ibanez amp, and Jim uses a Krait amp. But we did use the Engel for quite a lot of the recording. But then the actual tones of the guitars were all different anyway. I use, because we all use several different distortions, we all use multi-effects, and we all use amp distortion as well. So there's always quite varied guitar sounds going on.
Okay. That's a lot of stuff included there. And again, that means that a lot of burden was there on your head for the mixing.
Mm-hmm. But I think because it's quite easy for, it's time consuming, but it's relatively straightforward for us to mix the music ourselves, because we've lived with the songs, we've written the songs and rehearsed them.
Exactly.
And we know every part that's laid down, and we know how to, because when we record, we actually do most of the guitar sounds we create during the songwriting process, the rehearsal process, and then we basically adjust all the sounds and make them final during the recording session for the album. So we generally get all of the guitar sounds, we record nearly all of the effects during the performance. So we're actually modulating the sound effects and so on while we're playing and capturing the performance, rather than recording all of the guitars without effects and then trying to put the effects on afterwards. That's not really how we work. We tend to just do it all as we record, so that it's not just the musical performance, but you also have the sound effects manipulation and modulation as part of that performance.
And the sound manipulation has always been a very integral part of your music. So it is you who does all the manipulations and all the other effects?
No, everyone does their own, basically.
Okay.
Like, for example, I'll do the parts for the sound parts for my guitar and for my vocals. Gordon will do the parts for his guitar, and Jim does for his guitar, and Mark does his for the bass and so on.
Okay.
I mean, we might, the main songwriter, say for example, there's always one person who writes the majority of a song.
Right.
They'll usually give some direction if they have specific ideas in mind or some effects, sounds created as a guideline. But generally speaking, it's the person who plays the instrument that does the effects for it.
Mm-hmm, that's very interesting. And now coming to the drums, I think this album also features a very heavy and a very crunchy drum production, which is better than the Maniacal Wail, as far as I'm concerned. Was there a change in the drum production values? I mean, what was different in this recording?
Not so much a change in the production values. Just generally, the production values on this album are better overall, partly because we did the album more or less in one block session. So we were in the studio, and then, like, apart from a 2 week break, we did the whole album like within a few weeks. So within a period of a few weeks, whereas with previous albums, we've just tried to use studio downtime to fit in the odd day here and there, or a couple of days. So there was less continuity. So it was better from that perspective with this album, because we were able to just get in the studio, concentrate completely on it, and get it done. Whereas before, it was a bit more sporadic. And also, I think what helps the production a lot on this album being more defined and clear is that we tried to write the music and to record the music in a way with less layers. There was not very, well, there was a much lower use of keyboards, much less use of keyboards, sorry.
Okay.
In this album, so there was more space in the mix, and we tended not to record more parts than we needed to get the music across, really, just so that the most important key parts of each song or section could be more audible in the final mix.
Interesting. So overall, how much time did the recording session consume?
We spent 4 weeks in the studio in total, from start of recording to the end of mastering.
Okay, almost a month.
Yeah.
And are you completely happy with the result which has the mastering given you?
It's hard to say completely happy, because I don't think you're ever really satisfied with,
right,
completely satisfied with something that you do. There's always, with hindsight, there's always things you can think of that you would have liked to have come out better, or improved better, or be a little more audible.
Right.
Mix and so on, but when you've got so many instruments in the band and some of the sounds are quite outlandish, it's hard to always make everything perfectly clear in the mix. So it's just a compromise, really, and I think overall we're generally quite satisfied with it.
Okay, but I'm sure that it must be a very satisfactory thing for you as compared to the earlier releases.
Yeah. Definitely, because when other people were recording our music, particularly back then when the kind of music we were doing was very unheard of, the sound engineers just didn't really have any idea where we were coming from, and they didn't really have any interest either whatsoever. So they were just basically putting in very little effort into getting a decent result in terms of the recording and production.
Right, and I think that even today, the kind of music which you guys are playing, it's still very unheard of. So if you would have given your recording and mixing duties to some other person, I'm sure that he might not have done justice to your sound.
No, maybe not, because we have a very clear idea of what we want. So it's hard to get to find someone else who has the same kind of vision, really, and understands what we'd want. We're quite fussy in terms of how we want the songs to come across in the recording and mix.
Well, that was a good conversation indeed, and it's really great that you have your own studio and you could just always work on your own without relying on anyone else and get the perfect output which you would feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have your own equipment and to know it well, so that you can basically more easily capture the sounds that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
But you still have the restraints that any normal band would have regarding recording an album, because you can't just spend as long as you want on it, because obviously while we're working in the studio is not earning any money. So you're still restrained by everyday limitations, really.
Exactly. And while we were talking about that, how unheard your music is, I mean, it's very experimental, and right from the beginning, you have been like a very uncanny entity in the metal scenario. And this is mostly because of your highly eclectic taste in music. And we also discussed about it in the last interview as well. And this time, Paragon has a lot of intense, dark ambient and even some noise elements, which make the atmosphere highly psychedelic and suffocating. So what were some of your personal inspiration which enabled you to use such incredible and alien elements on the album this time?
I think basically with regards to the sounds, it comes from partly from experimentation.
Yeah.
And partly, I mean, the experimentation is just really to try and capture the sounds that you have in your head, the how you perceive the song to sound, and the kind of effects and sounds which will enhance the atmosphere and the feeling of the music. It's just a case of basically creating the sounds to work with the music.
Okay. So, I noticed that this time the dark ambient elements are a lot more as compared to the earlier stuff. So, I just wanted to know that if you were actually listening to a lot of specific dark ambient artists, I mean, if you were inspired by someone doing something special and maybe you would just try to incorporate something which you felt that it would sound bombastic and it would complement your music as a whole.
Yeah. Not sure it's so much like a direct conscious influence or inspiration to as to what we hear is to make us do what we do. It's more, I think it's more a case of we do obviously listen to different styles of music, and
right.
some of us do listen to dark ambient, myself included. But I've been listening to it for 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's and, you know, we listen to various, very, very varied styles of music between us. So I'm not sure. When we're trying to create music, it's a case of trying to create, like, what's within the feelings within our minds and emotions into music rather than and transposing that rather than not trying to use too much influence from okay. the music we listen to, really, but more for capturing emotions of our own. Obviously there's going to be some influences that creep in, but we try and keep it unique really if possible.
Exactly, and I totally agree with what you said, because your music is unique and it's definitely something very personal. I mean, it's apparent from the way the music is like, and if someone listens to it clearly and attentively, then I'm sure that he or she would be able to comprehend that it's very personal and it's a very conscious thing which is coming straight out of your hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I hope that people can at least, even if they don't appreciate the music, I mean, many won't like the music at all, but
exactly.
At least if they can appreciate that it's something that's real to us, then that's cool.
Totally. And anyways, doom metal, and specifically funeral doom metal, is not meant for everybody. So only mm-hmm. the few people who really feel that they have a connection with this music, like myself, would be able to appreciate what a band like Esoteric are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second time that Katie has drawn an album cover for Esoteric, and I was extremely impressed with the work on the Maniacal Whale, and she did a good job this time too. But how mm-hmm. satisfied are you with her concept this time?
She didn't have as much time for doing the artwork on this album.
Okay.
And I think the artwork itself is very good, and we just basically adjusted the color tones a bit on the album. It came out a little darker than we kind of anticipated, but I think overall we're very happy with the work.
Okay, that sounds perfect. And so she did all the inlay and the booklet as well, or only the artwork?
She does just the artwork. She did the artwork for the cover and the inlay and the booklet and so on. But then Mauro Birchi from Ivan Records and Kanam, the band Kanam, he does the graphic layout and design for us, and he always makes it work very well as a whole. Katie creates the artwork as individual pieces, and then Mauro puts it all together.
Okay, that sounds great. So this was it for the first half of the special interview with you, Greg. I would mm-hmm. speak with you again for the second part sometime soon. Thanks a lot for giving this opportunity to me yet again. And I look forward to speaking with you.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much. Cheers for the interview.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Ankit.